Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. This is Pastor Greg Miller, and I welcome you to our study in James chapter 1, verse 18, titled, Begat with the Word of Truth. As you listen, if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to us by email. Our email address is bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also mail your message along with any check or money order contributions to support the ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at the website bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. And now we begin with a current events update. We're focused on the Hamas war on Israel. And then part one of our study in James chapter 1, verse 18, titled, Begat with the Word of Truth. This is part one of two.
Look at our current events update. A major sign of the end times is Israel. And some of you, most of you probably are aware that they're on the brink of war over there. This is the biggest escalation since about 2014. So that's 7 years ago, by the way. Time flies, doesn't it? And it could escalate to the, I think it's 2006 Lebanon war if they don't get a peace treaty here pretty soon. And, of course, the idiots in America are screaming because Israel responded. Hamas sent off all kinds of hundreds of rockets. Didn't they say 600 in one day? And so if they did that, if one of our bordering countries shot 600 rockets into our country, we would pulverize them. But Israel isn't even supposed to respond measured. So this is from the Times of Israel. IDF strikes Hamas leaders amid heavy rocket attacks. Major rioting in Lod.
What's IDF?
The Israel Defense Forces.
Army,
Navy, Air Force, Marines. This was early this morning, I think. Yeah, 8:30 a.m. And here is a short little video, just to give you an idea. I don't know if they're showing this on news networks or not, on the regular networks. But this is... Well, it's a mix. It's also Iron Dome shooting down their missiles.
Right. So when you see them blow up, they're shooting down.
Yeah, that's not fireworks. The problem, though, the reason this was so bad was because the Iron Dome system malfunctioned, and so there were a lot of injuries in Israel as well as in Gaza. So that just gives you an idea of what is going on over there. And the simple answer as to why it is happening is because the Palestinian Liberation Organization and Fatah both have sworn to the destruction of Israel. There's never going to be peace over there until they're defeated completely, and that's not going to happen until Jesus returns. And everybody can ignore that and live in a dreamland, but that's the reality. And that's why we really appreciated the presidency of Donald Trump, because unlike his Republican predecessors and unlike any Democrat ever in office, he did what he said he would do with Israel, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, as well as telling these people who are firing these rockets that if you do this, we will let Israel destroy you. But once Biden took office, they knew they could get by with this. And they always do and always will when it comes to neocons, rhinos, and liberals and progressives. So there are two prophetic points regarding this situation in Israel. Number one is Gog Magog. The Bible teaches that there's going to be a war in which we don't have time to go through all this, but I want you to look in Ezekiel 38 just for a second so we can look at a few verses here. And in this war, it'll be an Islamic alliance joined with Russia. It'll include Turkey and Iran and Libya, and we'll see that in this text. And 5/6 of that army from those countries will be destroyed in this war. And that will then, I believe, will be what clears the way for the temple to be built in Jerusalem. But in Ezekiel 38, and it may be the building of the temple that prompts this war. We don't know for sure. We're not given a lot of information on those things. But look at Ezekiel 38, verse 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal." And Tubalsk, and I believe Meshech is Moscow. And this is then goes on to say, "I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya." Now, Persia would be Iran. Ethiopia actually is a bigger area in Ezekiel 38 than even Ethiopia today is. We don't have time to get into all that. But it says, verse 6, "Gomer and all his bands, and the house of Togarma and the north borders, and all his bands, and many people with thee." We don't have time, like I said, to go through all that, but we've taught on that. There's a message online you can listen to or watch, and we're going to rehash that at some point, maybe sooner than later. But that's the first prophetic point, is that war, if you read your headlines today and yesterday, it's about Russia, it's about Turkey, it's about Iran, these same countries that are listed right there. And so it could be, and at some point will be, the headlines. And the second is the beast piece. The beast piece. Save it. Write it down. Don't lose it. Daniel 9. And we also have a study of this more in depth, but we want to touch on tonight. Right after Ezekiel, I should have told you to stay back in that neighborhood. But Daniel chapter 9, and verse 26, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." That happened. That was 32 A.D. with the Messiah. But there's still a 70th week remaining. "But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." The people who destroyed the city and the sanctuary were Romans. So the prince of that people will come in the last days. It will be, the Roman pontiff. And it will be the final pope. And by the way, this isn't anti-Catholic. There are a lot of Catholics who believe exactly what I'm saying. And I believe they have a man they call Prophet Malachi, who recently prophesied the same thing. But that then goes on to say, "And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of war desolations are determined." And verse 27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now, this is a Jewish book. This is a prophecy given by the angel Gabriel to a Jew named Daniel. When he's talking about the covenant, he's talking about the Jewish Mosaic covenant, which involves a temple and animal sacrifice. So you see this whole thing in Israel, those are the two things you want to look out for, are those two main prophetic points, the setup of the Gog-Magog war and the world government that will have a covenant that will allow Israel to go back under a temple sacrifice system. And so as you watch what's going on in Israel, keep all of that in mind. And at last report, we were checking it out on the way in here, the rockets and fighting continues. There's all kinds of cries out for ceasefires and all that, but as of yet, It's still continuing. And this was another little clip I wanted to look at. This is from the Hamas side as they're firing toward Israel. And as I said, they counted, last count I was told yesterday was 600. So just, and their kids are, those poor kids are being raised to be devils. But that was Muslims. That's why they were saying Allahu Akbar. So Jesus just tells us when we see these things begin to come to pass. Doesn't say they're coming to pass at this point. He's saying when you these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And so we have to fight our emotions on this. We can get upset, we can get angry, we can get anxious, we can get all those things, or we can trust the Lord. And we can see, He's already told us this stuff's going to happen. God is in control, and He will win. And for real-time updates, we do recommend the Times of Israel. They have a live blog, and that's what the page looks like. And these little red headlines, as you can see when I took this screenshot, it's 3 minutes, 6 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So you're talking real up-to-date. And the website is just timesofisrael.com.
Yeah, that's at 1,200 rockets.
Where did you see that?
It's right on that page. Here, I decided it's back, obviously.
Oh, you're talking about, okay, up here. Yeah. Yeah, I grabbed this right before we headed in because I wanted to get the most recent information. And so it's now, as of last night, it was 600. As of tonight, and it's about 1 a.m. or 12:30 a.m. or so. Let me see. No, that was 7 hours. It's about 2:30 a.m. right now in Israel. And so this was about 5:30 our time. So it would have been about midnight their time. And they had 1,200 rockets. Wait till
James 1, verse 18 is where we're at. Begat with the word of truth. And if you missed any of our studies, they're all online. You can go back and watch what you missed. As we go verse by verse through this book, we're not going to get in a rush. I really was bugged my first few years as a Christian. I tried to study with two or three different churches and groups through James, and they just went through it like they were their hairs on fire. And there's so many questions that I had when I was over with. But there was the first good Bible study I had was in James. But I was a baby Christian, and I didn't get to finish. And so for years I was frustrated with the desire to sit down with somebody who could teach me. And as I've grown, gotten older, read through the Bible, every year reading through the Bible, sitting under other teachers, scripture with scripture, I still find James. Every book in the Bible. I mean, you just sit down and start looking through it and reading through it, and you're like, whoa. You know, either you didn't see that or you didn't quite get it the previous times through or whatever. So let's look at verse 18 and read that together. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen? Too many don't seem to get God saves us. God saves us. We don't save ourselves. We simply receive His salvation. The Bible says, not by works. And anybody who thinks they're going to work their way to heaven is deceived by Satan. Satan wants you to think you can earn your way to heaven, because then you'll never trust fully on what Jesus did. You'll always be trusting yourself. And that's what religion has done, even in among Christians, Christian denominations. They have ruined the gospel by saying, Jesus did his part, now you do yours. And the Bible says,
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's two things in that I want to say before we move on. Gift. Now, if someone gives you a birthday gift and then says, now, in order to receive this gift, you have to mow my grass every week for the rest of the summer, change my oil, and give you a list of things to do. Well, that's not a gift. And that's what people do with salvation. They turn it into something that's not a gift. Listen, are you smarter than God? God says it's a gift. So what is it?
A gift.
A gift. Unless you're smarter than God, it's a gift. If you're smarter than God, then you'll be a pope or a religious leader of some sort, and you'll teach people to work for it. And it says, lest any man should boast. See, no one's going to get to heaven and boast of having contributed to their own salvation. You know where the people who are contributing to their salvation are? When you're in heaven, they're in hell. Because only those who will receive God's gift... See, the problem is pride. Pride is the problem. And it says, of His own will begat He us. Now, there's another problem. We get into Calvinism. And they will say, see, God chooses who will be saved and who will be damned. That's true. But see, the question is, on what basis does He choose who will be saved and who will be damned? And see, too many people preach a fatalism, determinism, that says God chooses to save some, and to the rest, they will argue with me on this, but they really say God says to hell with the rest. And what the Bible says is God chooses only to save those who will come to Him empty-handed and say, I believe. The death, burial, and resurrection. I believe what Jesus did on the cross for me. I believe He rose from the dead and conquered sin and death. Empty-handed, receiving the gift, and you're saved. That's His will. Of His will, and it says His own will, begat He us, based on your believing, not of works. So this is not the you or the I in TULIP. TULIP are the 5 points of Calvinism. The you is unconditional election. That's the idea that God is choosing exactly who will be saved and who will be lost. Then there's irresistible grace. That is God's saving a choice few against their own will. See, it says, if God has chosen you for salvation, no matter what you want, He's going to make you believe. And that's what Calvinism teaches. Yes?
But He said, God called all.
Yes.
To repent.
Yes.
Amen.
God's will is to save all who will believe. So if it's His own will that He begat us, what was His will? His will was that if you will believe, then you will be saved. God's will is not to choose who will believe, but to save those who will believe. See the tense and the... Yeah. So Scripture with Scripture. God is not willing that any should perish. Let's go over to 2 Peter 3:9, just a few pages back. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Don't you love that sound? Sound of pages turning. All these phones and apps and everything. We're losing that beautiful sound. 2 Peter 3:9. Read that with me. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, what's it say right there? God's will is that He's not willing that any should perish. So it's God's will that nobody perish, right? Mm-hmm. But that all should come to repentance. So when anybody says that God is sovereign. Yes, he is. And then they go on to say, well, then God sovereignly chooses who he will save. Well, that's true, but he sovereignly chooses to save those who believe.
Amen.
And if it was just based on who he wanted to save, everybody would be saved.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a false accusation. It's a false stipulation to claim that God would only save some if he was just saving whoever he wanted to save based on nothing. But God does want to save everyone, but he can only save those who believe. And that's just how it is. It is God's will to save all who believe on Jesus. Look over at John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. I'll read 11 while you're turning there. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And I think I meant to say 11 through 13, so let's read 12 and 13 together. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see that? As many as received him. Not as many as were chosen to believe. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Nowhere is there works, and nowhere is this idea of election that says God simply chose you to be saved, and that's why you're saved. No, God chose to save you because you believed on his name, because you believed the gospel. So the bottom line is, the Bible over and over says that you believe and God saves you. Calvinists teach the exact opposite. They teach that God chooses you and regenerates you before you even ever hear the gospel. And because you are chosen and regenerated, you then believe. You won't ever find that in the scripture. What you always find is Jesus calling on sinners to believe and be saved. They flip it on its head. It's the opposite. See how that... Johnny?
It's what makes it even crazier is the fact that not only do they say that you can only be saved if God wills it, but they even also say you actually can't really know unless you return to the end.
Yeah, that's another point that we get into in our study of the tulip when we studied P. Perseverance of the saints, and a lot of guys try to teach preservation of the saints. The fact is, under that system, you do not know for sure you're saved unless or until you die in good standing. And it becomes so oppressive that I've read interviews and heard interviews, and I've talked to people myself personally who, because they didn't live a good enough Christian life in their own opinion, they just don't think they're saved. This includes pastors who are Calvinists. And after pastoring for decades, they come to the end of their life. There's one pastor who went in dementia, and his family would go visit him in the nursing home. He cussed like a sailor and was sexually harassing all the nurses. So his family thought he's going to hell. I was a new baby Christian, and I said, he's not in his right mind. Why would you think he's not saved? And their attitude was that if he was one of the elect, God would not have allowed them to go into that condition. And that's hogwash. I mean, it's what you should take your, we've talked, there's few of us here who are dealing with people in our families who are going into dementia. They can do crazy things. They're not in the right mind. You know, you can't hold them responsible when they're not in the right mind. So what do? You have to take some precautions. So that man should have been put in a place where he wouldn't have caused a lot of grief with the other people who are living there, residents, and maybe only let men go in and take care of him so he can't harass women. You know, you have to be the one to take that Huh? Yeah, you be the adult. And common sense, which isn't common, and that's the problem. And so when it comes to someone who's lived their life and comes down to the end, and there's a guy that wasn't very old that I know went, well, actually, I know two or three, two I know of for sure, who went kind of cuckoo because of a brain tumor. But no one knew at the time they had a brain tumor. And I'm pretty convinced that, you know, God's not going to hold them accountable for the fact they had such big growth in their brain that made them lose their capability of living normally and dealing with people, you know, reasonably. So we don't, again, that's basing, no matter what you throw into that mix and that conversation, you're basing your salvation on works. We base our salvation on by grace through faith. We base it on what Jesus did, His works, not our works.